Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Roszell. You're listening and watching to Ageless Health with Dr. Tom Roszell, as you're doing on an ongoing, regular basis. And we're trying to bring you topics that are about your health and things that you can do to help yourself, if you will, and ultimately make yourself a much more centered and much stronger and much more autoimmune structured person. You know, years ago, I wrote a book called Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. And that's the whole concept of this, is we want your health in your hands. We want you to have all the tools, the fundamental pieces to be able to take you into the direction of that you have control. And particularly in the world that we're living in today, you need to have control. You need to be able to make the decisions. Very special program today, one that has been of interest to me since I was very young. And it's energetic medicine, but it's energetic medicine from the platform of martial arts, both an Eastern platform and a Western platform. And I've had the pleasure of studying many different systems over the years and, you know, been able to put that into my own use for all the needs that I've had, both for centering and strength and bringing my place, myself into a place of quietness. And I've met people who are above the cut. And I want to bring somebody into that platform today, somebody who I really admire, has been in this field for years and years, but I'm going to let him introduce himself, Master Don Alley. Master Alley, welcome to Ageless Health, and let's talk a little bit about you and how you got into this. Give us a little background. How did you get involved in martial arts? And you've been at it for years, our conversation since you were a teenager.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thanks again for having me. I got into martial arts because I saw the original Karate Kid, right? I was a child of the 80s and I saw Daniel-san, and my mom watched me put a long sock around my head and go wash her car, one hand and the other, wax on, wax off. And she was like, I think I have to sign this kid up in karate somewhere. And that was when I was 7 years old, and never got bored, kept on training ever since. And I just feel really grateful that she never let me quit. That when I was a kid, that was one of the things that she always said, if you start something, you have to finish it. And there's a time or two that I thought, I don't know if I want to do this. And she said, no, you told me you're going to get your black belt. So you're going to stick around and you're going to get your black belt. And I did. And that was a really powerful thing for me. And I just never stopped taking martial arts and then started teaching for my instructor. And then I could tell you story after story about how, what I did, but taught for him and then bought the school from him. And in my martial arts journey turned into entrepreneurship. And yet it's never really deviated from being a martial artist and being a health enthusiast. So that's the very short version of the last 33 years of my life.
That's super cool. So, you know, you're out of the Washington metropolitan area in Virginia, and your school is, as you're showing your logo, is Superkicks Karate. You've been competitive internationally, and you were in the World Games. Impressive. Tell us a little bit about that. How did that come about? I mean, you actually won the World Games at one point.
I did. So when I was from about the time I was 13 to 15, I actually didn't take classes, martial arts classes, very often. I was wrestling. And that's the only other sport that I feel like if I didn't do karate, I would have been a collegiate wrestler. And one day I went back to karate class just to train and work out. And my instructor had created a national karate team. And he said, I would love to have you on the team. And I thought, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And so from 1997 until 2001, we competed all over the country, nationally and internationally, into Mexico and Canada, and competed probably every other weekend. I remember, I think in 1998, we did 32 tournaments that year. That's almost every weekend, every other weekend. It was just,
that's incredible.
Just constantly competing. And I really feel like I got as good as I am as a martial artist because of the competition. You know, training in classes and working towards your belts and degrees and whatnot, that gets you good. Having world-class martial artists try to kick you in the face and beat you in forms makes you train at another level, at a higher level. And so the competitiveness, I feel like, really served me as a martial artist, and it got me really good. 1997, I went to the World Games, and I got dead last. It was awful. But that was my first exposed. And that was my first year on the international circuit. And you know, you go with high hopes and you get there and you realize, oh, you guys are awesome. You guys are really good. And then in 1998, I went back and got second place in the world's in my fighting division. Went back in 99 and I thought I was going to win. And I got my face smashed in Canada and got disqualified because I couldn't continue to fight. It was there, incidentally, I didn't tell you this, that I got my first taste of socialized medicine. Not fun. And then it never is, is it? Took a year or two off and just kept on training and then went back in 2001. It was Hollywood, California, and won first place in my fighting division for the Worlds. So that was a pretty exciting time. And I look back and there's so many lessons that I, during those years, when I teach my students now about fighting, about competitiveness, about goal setting and training, I really pull from those lessons and those experiences and that journey.
Master Ali, let me ask you a really honed in question. Martial arts is so different when applied at the highest level that you can apply it. So if you were to distinguish what martial arts really is, from an energetic platform, a physical platform, is it a combination of those things? Or what does it really stem from? Obviously, martial arts were developed in many different cultures around the world as a protective mechanism for people who didn't have weapons. It goes back to the essence of the East. But it's taken its place. The Chinese have their treasures that they never let out of the country, the Kung Fu masters, the Wushu masters. You have many different systems from things that are practiced in South America to Korean to Japanese and so forth. How would you distinguish and put together the similarities of all those systems, the effectiveness? Does it come from the physical being or does it come from a different place?
That's a really good question. And I know we didn't talk a lot about this the last couple weeks ago. My instructor, he was from an era in the 70s when martial arts was just getting into the mainstream in America. And in order to learn martial arts, he had to find people to train. And so he would drive to different cities and work with instructors who had learned martial arts. And he was very much, and still is, an American businessman. And he completely disregarded any Eastern philosophy, whether meditation or spirituality or whatever, and looked at martial arts solely as a physical sport, one which he wanted to be a great fighter. He wanted to be able to defend himself. And when he taught martial arts to myself and students along the way in the 80s, that was a time Zig Ziglar was big on the the entrepreneur scene. Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins was coming onto the scene. And so he was very much an entrepreneur and very much wanted to be a businessman, but he loved martial arts. And so he rode the wave of kids martial arts and had his karate school and was using martial arts as a way of teaching great self-defense, keeping people physically fit, and also using it as a way of teaching goal setting and hard work and all of those types of core tenets, very much sales type training and positive reinforcement and positive motivation. And so he used martial arts like that. And so I grew up as a kid and even as an adult, teaching the same and having the same mentality and mind frame of it had nothing to do with Eastern philosophy and nothing to do with the meditation or the energy standpoint that you're referencing when you first asked me that question. I say all that because that was my background. In the last 5 to 10 years, I feel like I personally have gone more down a more spiritual path of just being more aware and reading more and exploring that piece of it. And even on the health side of it, I was excited to mention this. I feel like the more I study, the more I feel really grateful that I'm in martial arts, that I feel like what I study has roots in what I do. And even though when I learned it, it didn't start there, you know, maybe in the next, you know, I've done this for 33 years as a physical form of exercise and growth. Maybe my next 33 years will be the other side of it.
You know, the interesting thing is when you look at a martial arts master as yourself and some of the best in the world, and you watch the way things are taught, particularly outside of this country. I studied, as I said earlier, Wushu. I studied Tai Chi Guan for many years, which is a Chinese form of basically energetic medicine, Qigong and Bagua and the nature. But that was my interest because my interest has been in energetic applications of body physiology. So when you look at those things, even when you teach somebody to break a board or break a brick, if you look at it with slow motion camera, the board, the brick breaks well before the combatant is touching it. It's well before that. You see it crumble. You see it begin to break down. And it's the energy that actually breaks that. So the piece that really interests me relative to health is a multidimensional piece. One, the physicality, obviously, right? You're getting stronger. Your bodies can be more impervious to injuries and slings and arrows. The biochemistry, if your body neurologically and physically is working well, then your chemistry is going to work better. It's particularly if you're feeding it well. And as a martial artist, and if you're doing it from a traditional point of platform, you're avoiding the garbage. You're avoiding the sugars, the sodas, the coffee, the black teas, the garbage food that goes into your body. But it's the emotional piece. It's the quieting. It's the centering. It's the ability to bring that. And all of that brings it up to a place that is not physical. It brings it to a place that is purely an energetic platform that serves people, that heals people, that turns it around. The mind is an amazing piece of machinery. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right as well. Going back to the people that you mentioned from Brian Tracy and Zig Ziglar and, you know, Tony Robbins, who I know personally and actually was his on the road doc for about 7.5 years. But at the end of the day, what do you see relative to shifting? You have to know, particularly being at the level that you are and having been at the top of the pecking order, if you will, that there's a piece that is physically not definable, that becomes much more impactful from, be it a structural point of view or an energetic point of view or a spiritual point of view or something of that nature. What's your thoughts?
Oh, goodness. I think that, you know, to answer your question, you're much more knowledgeable on this front than I am. I can only talk from my own personal experience that the more I meditate and the more I turn in, the better I feel and the better I perform outwardly, whether that's my own martial arts or my own physical goals, my business goals. And so that I don't have as much experience in that realm as I would like, but I just know that the more I'm, the more I quiet my insides, the more my outsides are impacted, for sure.
Have you ever seen people who have come to you, have trained, where they've had disabilities, they've had impairments? It could be autoimmune conditions that you find out about later, or they have a structural inability of some sort. They're limping around, their body's beginning to break down. But under your guidance, under your tutelage, your ability to train them, how often do you see them change, that their whole systems, and they come up to you and say, you know, Master Ali, what I want you to know is that, you know, I had this and it's no longer there. I'm doing well. I'm off my medications. I'm, you know, I'm at a place where I never thought was possible.
That's
is
a great
that
question.
Common?
That happens all the time. And even just as you asked me that question, I think back to multiple conversations over the last decade or two, and thinking about it now, yeah, I think it happens all the time where people talk about getting off of their medications, having their own limitations of what they think their body can or can't do. And I guess you would have a more spiritual or energetic explanation for it. I would look at it as my expectation. You know, you said earlier, like whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And so having an instructor who has the expectation that you are able to perform a certain technique and gives you ways and things to move your body and stretch and move. I think the student who has the desire to make that happen and who listens to the instructor who has the expectation that you're going to be able to do it, I feel like that 1,000% affects in a really positive way their ability to actually move their body in new ways, and whether they were always able to and they just didn't give themselves permission, or whether something changed energetically where all of a sudden they could. It's hard to measure, but it happens all the time.
It's incredible to think, I've been to China twice and 2 weeks at a time, and I studied in Beijing and I was treated there, but I also studied the energetic platforms of medicine. And the things that I saw, for example, there was a young business guy, he was about 35 years old. And when they brought him to this clinic in Beijing, Northwest Beijing, he was paralyzed from the waist down. He had had a car accident 5 years before and his legs were thinned and shriveled and could feel nothing. And they brought him into the treatment room and they laid him on the table. And there was three masters around him. Master one, Su Zhen, who was the head, he was a medical physician who happened to be, by the way, the personal physician of Mao Zedong in Mao's last years of life. But the man was gifted as an energetic healer. But their whole platform was Bagua and Qigong and those types of martial arts. And so they're on the head of the table and one on each side, and they're moving their bodies into rhythmic motion. And there's 12 of us and we're videoing this, and we felt our shirts cling to our bodies. The other material in the office, or including the drapes, were moving, and they're not touching this guy. And then all of a sudden in orchestration, they would lift their hands, their legs would go one way, and then they would go another way. And then as a conductor would, they brought their hands palms up and they lifted, and not touching them, they were 5 to 6 inches away from the table. And this young man, this 35-year-old, lifted about 3-4 inches off the table. And they held him like that for about 7-8 minutes. And then they put him back down on the table, or dropping their hands, and the body began to rest back down. And all of a sudden, this young man, his eyes are filled with tears, and his face was contorted. And through translation, Mandarin, he said, "Stop, my feet are burning." The guy hasn't felt his feet in 5 years, right? And we followed him. We left about a week later. We followed him for several months, and they sent us a video of him. And 6 months later, he's out running. And he was never touched in any other way. He had some acupuncture done. He had some nutritional changes, but the impact was energetic. And he was there at the clinic for that period of time, and it gave him his life back. So the energetics in martial arts that I've personally observed over a period of years, and I know your reputation and what you do, sometimes, particularly in American culture, we miss that. We miss that ability of the body's synthesis, the energetic platform. I'm sure that you're familiar, at least with the concepts of quantum mechanics and quantum physics, where it basically says that the physical being of who we are made up of organ systems, they're made up of tissues, those tissues are made up of molecules, and then they're made up of atoms and or cells and atoms, and then the last piece is a photon. That's the energetic piece that we're all part of. So if you change the energy platform of that photon, everything you do, whether it's a strike, in my opinion, you're hitting a board, or you're hitting a brick, or you're hitting another person to protect yourself, and so forth, or it's the healing process that takes place. It happens immediately, and I'm sure that you've seen that repetitively over the years. Even anecdotally, that's something that all of us have to acknowledge that is there. What do you see that happen, particularly with your young students? How do you guide them? And how do you say, look, Do you understand it's not physical? You're not breaking that board. It's there's another place. How do you relate that as a master, as an instructor?
I don't have a good answer for you because I've never thought about it that way, quite honestly. When we do board breaking and brick breaking on a regular basis, and the student, we look at it from a standpoint of physical focus, where I've got my eye contact on the center of the board or the center of the target. We talk about a board, center of the board, and I'm relaxed through the movement, and the board only breaks when there's a tremendous amount of force right in the center, with the right amount of power using the right part of your body. So I can talk about that all day long, making sure the board doesn't break unless I'm relaxed, until I tighten and squeeze everything in my body right when I hit, right when I strike. That's how I've been taught and how we look at it. I've never approached it from a purely energy standpoint.
You know, it's interesting because there's so many different approaches to the martial arts, and the outcomes are significant and common. Mm-hmm. And it's the thought process, the look behind it. I've seen little people who have, they'll take on a person who's 4 or 5 times their size and handle them without anything, and virtually with very little effort, with very little pressure, if you will, from a physical platform. And so those pieces are of interest to me. And knowing your background and the things that you've been involved in, and obviously the reputation that you have a very large school in the Virginia suburbs, in the Washington metropolitan area. My question is, how do you take somebody who's never experienced martial arts and you explain, what are the benefits? Why should I do this? Why should I continue it? What are the outcomes? What's the end goal for me that they can embrace, and it becomes part of their physiology, part of their health index, part of, who they want to become at a much higher level?
I love it. I think first, having the right instructor is paramount. People say martial arts teaches all these things, and I can rattle them off, and I'll list off some of them, but discipline and confidence and self-defense and more respect and goal setting and all of these. But if you don't have the right instructor who has in mind to teach those things, I think that martial arts is just, it can be anything that you want it to be, whether it's just fighting or just self-defense or just spirituality. But having an instructor who is looking at it from a standpoint of what kind of benefits can I get from it, I think is paramount. Martial arts, the way that I teach it, the way that we do it at our school, parents come in regularly. They want their kids to be more confident. That was my mom for me. Me personally, as a 7-year-old kid, I wanted to be able to kick and punch and do the cool things that I saw on TV. My mom, she was a single parent and wanted me to have somebody that would be able to speak into my life. And she saw that I was very shy and very introverted and couldn't talk to people, and just saw that my own personal confidence was shaken. And so put me in martial arts to develop my confidence. I'd like to think that it worked. But looking at it as an adult from the confidence standpoint, progressing from one belt to the next was huge for me. And it's huge for students now. Watching your own body change, when you spread your legs out into a full split and recognize that I'm really tight, I'm really unflexible, and regular practice improves my flexibility and improves my ability. Regular practice, I can move faster, I can move stronger. Recognizing that my own personal work ethic is going to create a different outcome in my body and in my life, I think is one of the biggest ways that people develop more confidence. And I don't think the confidence piece of it is something that all of a sudden one day, you think, okay, as soon as I do this thing, I'm going to be more confident. I feel like it just comes naturally over time. And whether it's 6 months down the road or 1 year down the road or a couple of years down the road, the parent and the student looks back and they look at who they've become and they think, man, I'm stronger on my insides and on my outsides. Like, I've become more confident. This martial arts thing really did work. I think the same can be said from the standpoint of discipline or of being more respectful or of being those are some of the big ones that parents come to. And the way we teach martial arts and the way that we change a student's body and change a student's mindset, I think, again, 6 months down the road, a couple of years down the road, you look back and you think, this has made a difference. I'm a different person now. I like to tell parents when they first get started with us that, you know, we dangle the carrot of black belt in front of students, because I know that if I can get students looking a couple of years into the future and motivated towards a big goal like black belt, then I can foster a lot of change in a student. And we like to tell them that they are about to take two journeys simultaneously. We call it the black belt's two journeys. Number one is the journey of achievement. It's going from point A to point B, from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain, from white belt to black belt. And it is a journey. You can't just get there because you want it. You have to work and toil and struggle and persevere and train and cry and fail and persevere and all those things. That's the journey of achievement. The second journey is the one that I think is most impactful, and it's the journey of transformation. It's who you become as a result of taking the first journey. And I think if you look at every great story, whether a book or a movie or in your own life, I think that that journey, the journey of transformation, is the one that is most meaningful and is the one that you would never give away. You would never give up. It's who you become as a result. It's the beliefs, the new beliefs about what's possible. It's the new ways that you can move your body. It's the new strength that you have inside and out that has come from multiple years of toiling and climbing this mountain of working towards black belt. So I think that one of the biggest things that I feel like, aside from martial arts, aside from kicking and punching, that when you come to Super Kicks, when you come to our school, one of the biggest things that I feel like I give my students is a mindset shift in what's possible, what they can do with their bodies, what they can achieve. Goal setting is huge, and it's been huge in my life. I know yours as well. And so teaching a child that's 4 years old to look into the future, or reminding a 40-year-old to look into the future and decide what they want to be, what they want to do, what they want to have, and teaching them the process of reverse engineering and then moving forward. I think the analogy of a black belt is enormously valuable if students can take that correlation and apply it to other areas of their life as well.
Well, the person that is instrumental in making that happen, obviously, is the teacher. You know, it's the master. And, you know, in Chinese martial arts, Sifu, you know, teacher is the guy that, if he's good at what he does and he's able to move them in the direction that they can optimize their life, because they are really creating their own story of their life. And that self-respect, you use the word, you know, developing respect, but it's a self-respect that is really the ultimate piece. You know, you said you got involved with this, the original Karate Kid back in the day, and, you know, you saw the good and the bad on both sides. You saw the, you know, the gentleness of the master bringing the young Padawan, if you will, and developing over a period of time. And then you saw the one that was solely combative and to be able to hurt and no pain and so forth. And those are opposite sides. And truly, the embracing of martial arts has to do with the ability of developing those pieces that you brought out so specifically, and with self-respect and the ability to understand that you can do, that you have certainty about your capacity and your ability to firstly do anything. And the other piece for me is that you're competing against the optimization of yourself, not against something else or somebody, someone else. It's your presence, your ability to optimize. You know, it's your presence becomes present, not only for yourself, but for other people, but in a way that is supportive for everything that is around us. You know, when we met at my son-in-law's clinic out in Broadlands in Virginia, I was very impressed because I'm aware of people's energy, their presence, and yours is extremely strong. And, you know, then learning more about you and the ability that you have to instruct and bring young people into a much more profound platform and direction so they can begin to develop themselves and have that certainty about who they are is quite significant. Don, very quickly, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you or wanted to get a, you know, to look and see what you do, what's your website that they can go to?
Really easy, superkickskarate.com. That's us.
That's simple. That's easy. And it's, you have a very large facility. It's one that is a very impressive, you're impressive. I mean, obviously your energy is, you know, is amazing. And what I really appreciate about you is your willingness to expand and to grow and to continue to develop and carry something that you have passion for and you have love for, at a much higher level. And I really appreciate it.
I appreciate that. I really look at what I do. You know, I at the beginning, I mentioned that I feel like it's only been in the last few years that I've looked at what I do differently. You know, again, I grew up with an instructor who it was completely physical. It was completely competitive. It was completely self-defense oriented with a mindset shift towards growth and goals. At this point in my career and in my game, I look at what I do very much in two ways. Number one, super kicks is my art. I am an artist, you know, martial artist, yes, but at my core, I feel like I'm an artist. And so there's a lot of things that I do inside of the business and inside of teaching and how I run it that feels very artistic to me, whether it's the decor, not even the decor of the school, but more so, I feel like I'm creating little people. I'm creating humans to think differently and be different. And then it's also my contribution. I feel like when I'm working, I'm teaching end of the night, you know, Tony Robbins talks about the morning and evening questions. One of the evening questions is how do you contribute? And every night when I ask that question of myself, it's hard not to say I taught martial arts today. Like I gave back, I contributed. The knowledge and the things that I have learned and am continuing to learn, I get to serve and give back and contribute to my students that were in front of me. So it's very meaningful. I will do this for the rest of my life.
You know, when you find that sweet spot, and mine has always been to serve, educate, and empower others on their journey, the ultimate gift is the ability to serve and to be part of somebody else's journey. And you've done that remarkably and admirably. And I appreciate you for that. And thank you very much for that. Don, thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it. Want to let our listeners and watchers know that they can catch this online at Rozelle Radio and drtomrozelle.com. Please feel free to let us know other episodes that you'd like to see. We're here for you and simply for one reason. We love you all. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you so much.